Part 1. It's About the Game. Chapter 1. Taking the Grind Out of the Game. A few years ago, the two of us took a trip to Las Vegas. Not to play the tables. Well, that's not our thing. No, we were in Las Vegas to speak to the International Council of Shopping Centers, 60,000 members strong. It just so happened that the speech was early in the morning, so we arrived the night before, and with an open evening, like good tourists, we decided to get tickets to a show. A famous singer was in town, and so off we went, one of us being very enthusiastic, the other being very accommodating. Cue the 50-piece orchestra and the colored smoke machines. What a production! Big hair, power ballads, backup singers dangling on wires from the ceiling, and an eye-popping procession of costume changes. Yet, less than an hour in, one of us was fast asleep. Rattled awake, hears exactly what he said. What's the score? That, in three words, is a person who loves sports. And business. They're the same thing, aren't they? Both are intense and full of fun. They're hard. They're fast. They're a nonstop grapple filled with strategy, teamwork, nuance, and surprise. And in sports and business alike, the players are in it to win. A brand manager wallows with his team about how to position a product out of engineering that just might blow sales through the roof. Three friends from college ditch Wall Street to start a microbrewery or launch a new app. A manufacturing manager wakes up one morning with a great idea about how to increase yield at his factory. An HR executive interviews six candidates for a job that should have been filled 3 weeks ago, and, at last, one seems perfect. People work all day, every day, trying to make their organizations and lives better, trying to help their families, their employees and colleagues, their customers, and the communities where they operate. And in working, people give their lives meaning. Not all of its meaning, of course. Life, with its vast depth and richness, certainly exists outside work. But work can give our lives a goodly portion of its purpose. Which is why it's such a terrible thing when companies or teams are stuck in work situations that are buzzing with sound, action, and occasionally fury, signifying nothing. Nothing, as in no forward motion, no growth, no winning, not even a decent shot at it. That's not competing. That's not fun. That's not business. That's just a grind. Such a dynamic is, however, all too common. As we mentioned in the introduction, we've spoken to about 1 million people around the world since 2001, almost exclusively in Q&A sessions. These individuals have worked at companies large and small, old and new, in heavy industry, and in gaming, retail, and finance. They've been entrepreneurs, senior executives, MBA students, and individual contributors. Across all these varied sessions, several people in the audience usually ask something like, "Why is it so darn hard to get everyone on the same page?" Or, "Describe a work scenario where so many people don't seem to be playing on the same team, with results beginning to show for it." More evidence, too. Probably a third of the nearly 1,000 MBA students in our business school, most of whom are in their 30s and 40s, and working in managerial jobs at good companies, report experiencing some sense of gridlock at work. What a mess. And yet, this dilemma is not only fixable, it can be prevented. All it takes is alignment and leadership. They're equally important. Indeed, we'd assert that neither can really happen without the other. And there's no better way to start the real-life MBA than by digging into both. All alignment, all the time. Now, we understand that the importance of alignment is not going to be news to most people listening to this audiobook. The concept has been out there in the management stratosphere for a long time, lauded by gurus, professionals, pundits, and consultants alike. The problem is that, in reality, at companies of every ilk, the relentless application and discipline of alignment can fall by the wayside. Work, that infernal to-do list, gets in the way. We get that. Work feels like it should come first, especially in today's daunting economic environment. A cranky client, an employee who needs coaching, a competitor's new technology hitting you blindside, a PR disaster erupting on Twitter. All these can happen in a day's work, and sometimes even on the same day. But the fact is, if you want to get off the grind, alignment has to come before, during, and after the work. It has to be happening all the time. It has to be part of what the work is.